It's great to have long-term CMDA members on Christian Doctors Digest, and that's why it's wonderful to introduce to you Ron Bryce, who's been a member of CMDA for many years. He's an emergency room physician in Dallas. He did his medical degree at Oral Roberts University and was actually honored by ORU as their Alumnus of the Year in 2016. He's a longtime Sunday school teacher, church elder, church musician, and during medical school, he played the piano for a Southern gospel group. His community involvement is including serving as the mayor of Red Oak, Texas. He was appointed by the governor of Texas to the medical board, where he served for 6 years. I've asked him to come and talk to us about his new book, The Fingerprint of God, and I asked Dr. Gene Rudd, my good friend and former executive VP of CMDA, to do this interview with Ron. Dr. Ron Bryce, thanks for joining us on Christian Doctors Digest. Ron, we're here to discuss your new book, but before we do, we ought to know something about the author. Now, I've known you and your family for some time, but most of our listeners probably don't know you, so tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, the work you do.
Thank you, Gene. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on the program. I grew up as a pastor's kid in rural Kansas. My parents pastored a church there and since become missionaries in the country of Haiti. And I actually grew up planning to be a pianist and composer. That was my life's goal all the way through school. And I was entering college as a music major. In just one night in intense prayer, I was outside walking and praying, looking at the stars, and I just felt like the Lord strongly laid on my heart to change course completely and to become a medical doctor. And that was such a shock to everybody who I knew at the time, but I felt it was really a word from the Lord. So I completely changed direction, and even though I had no background in science, I went through pre-med, ended up graduating from medical school at Oral Roberts University, went into residency at John Peter Smith Hospital in Fort Worth, Texas. And since then, I've done a combination of family medicine and emergency medicine and academic medicine. While I was in residency, I met my wife, Lydia, and she and I have four wonderful kids who are all serving the Lord and doing well. And now we live in Dallas, and I'm doing full-time emergency medicine.
So you've got a new book out entitled Fingerprints of God. And what prompted you to take on a writing project? I'm sure you got a very busy life with all the other charitable activities you're involved in, good community activities, your medical practice, your family, fathering, husbanding. But then you decided to do some writing. What prompted you?
Well, it really didn't start out as my intention of writing a book. It was, I think, I traced it back to when I was an intern. In Fort Worth, Texas, I was an intern. A couple months into my internship, I developed Guillain-Barré syndrome. Many of the listeners, most would know that what that is, but I ended up being a quadriplegic at that point in my life, and I was, for several months, I was just at the mercy, you know, in the intensive care unit and in the rehab and at the mercy of the healthcare system. After it is, I think, as a sideline, it's really good to have some experience on the other side of the bed rail, so to speak, when you're a medical doctor. It gives you some understanding of what we really inflict on people sometimes in our medical care.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
But at this time, I had a good church group, but I was there quadriplegic in the hospital, and many of my well-intended friends would visit, and they would, some of them wanted to find hidden sins that might have brought on this affliction, and I couldn't really respond very much. I just lay there. I could hear them, and they would try to find hidden sins, wanted me to repent of hidden sins. They became frustrated with me because I couldn't pinpoint the faults I had that had brought on this illness. And while I was laying there, these two things sort of synthesized in my mind. I had in my body, part of my body, the immune system was attacking another part of my body, the peripheral nerves, but on kind of a relationship or spiritual level, members of the body of Christ were, in a sense, attacking another part of the body of Christ. And I got to thinking about the parallel there, and I eventually really became interested in Paul's term that he coined, the body of Christ, the living body. And I just more and more wanted to study what it meant. Was it, you know, I always thought it was kind of a throwaway term, the you know, almost. The body of Christ is the church. The church is the body of Christ. And the term really had lost meaning in my mind, and I think in a lot of people's mind it loses meaning to think of a body of Christ. But I just wanted to find out, what could that mean from a biological point of view or a medical point of view? Is there something, some wisdom we could glean from really thinking of ourselves as more of a living body in the spiritual realm, and what that means for us in our interactions with each other if we're intimately connected as members of a body rather than, say, members of a organization or a business and so forth?
You know, the book is entitled Fingerprints of God. What prompted you to use the metaphor of God's fingerprints?
That term encapsulates, I think, God's touch on something that he's created. The way I explain it is, if you think of a famous artist, say a painter like Rembrandt or Van Gogh, Norman Rockwell, if you compare their paintings, you can tell from the characteristics of the painting who the painter was. Even if there's no signature on the work of art, you might say, oh, that's a Norman Rockwell painting, or that's a Van Gogh, because someone who's an aficionado of paintings can detect the interaction of the different aspects of the painting and know who the author or the painter was. Just like in music, if you hear a Beethoven sonata, you can recognize the composer as opposed to, say, a Scott Joplin ragtime piece or a Hillsong musical piece, because you see how the individual notes or the individual members interact in time and space, and how the mind or the nature of the composer comes forth in his or her work. And I think in the body of Christ, if it's a living body, it has these living attributes because the hand of God has touched that entity and given it attributes that are very similar to attributes in other living things around us, like our human bodies.
You mentioned that the church has grown less influential in the public square, and you say this is in part due to the fact that the church is beginning to or has become more like a business than the body of Christ. What do you mean?
First of all, I don't want to throw stones at people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones, and I don't want to be too negative toward anyone who's working and in the church and doing their best, but I can't help but think that some things we've done, we've lost some of the original concept of a living body in our day-to-day church activities. One way I look at it is that God is the only entity that creates living organisms. But because mankind, we are created in the image of God, we desire to do like God. God creates organisms, we create organizations. And so I think as hard as we try to promote the church, it sometimes ends up being almost like a little franchise in each town, and the evangelism program becomes more of a marketing program, and the felt needs of the community become projects that we develop, and the pastor is the CEO, and fundraising becomes a high priority. And not that any of these things are inherently bad or evil, but I think it takes away from the fact that a living organism is organized and behaves a little differently than an organization.
So it's the church has fingerprints that are ours more than God's these days. Too often that's the case. You make the point that readers see characteristics that readers should have characteristics that mark all believers. What is that characteristic? How should it be manifest in our lives?
I think the master of that was Francis Schaeffer. He wrote a book called Mark of the Christian, and he noted that the Bible states in Matthew that to paraphrase, they will know we are Christians by our love one for another. And so the mark of a Christian is our interaction, our relationships with each other. And I think as we become more like a living body and less like an organization, the importance of our relationships becomes just so important. And as we love one another, that is such a witness for the world, more so than any project or program on Sunday morning could ever be. The way we love one another and we love Christ, that is brings out the essence of the body of Christ.
I know you got the idea from Apostle Paul, but being a physician, you do an excellent job of using the physical anatomy of our bodies to explain how the body of Christ should function. Give us some examples.
First of all, I'll just say I'm fascinated by the Apostle Paul. And when he traveled the world evangelizing, being a missionary, he had at his side a physician. He had Luke the physician. And Paul evidently had some kind of a physical ailment or thorn in the flesh that afflicted him, and he had a physician with him. And I know as these travels by ship and in dungeons and in prisons, they were together, and they had to discuss, I think, some medical or biological concepts of the time, what they could know at the time without our modern medical knowledge. And somehow, I think that sort of became woven into the letters that Paul wrote, and somehow out of just almost thin air, he coined this term, body of Christ. And it evidently had never been used in writings before. And I just became so fascinated that that term had meaning. And the more I, one thing, Gene, I did 20 years ago or so, I decided to volunteer to teach an honors biology class in high school. So I was teaching at a university at the time, but I taught these high school students biology, just tried to get as basic as I could on the biological concepts. And I remember one of the first chapters that we studied were the attributes of life. And all living organisms have these attributes of life. And if a thing is alive, it has the attributes. If it's not alive, it doesn't have all the attributes. And so I began to look at that and think, well, if we, the body of Christ, are a living body, then how are these attributes alive? How are these attributes woven into our interactions in our lives here on earth? And there are just many attributes that can be, I think, transposed from the biological world into thinking how we interact as Christians in the church. One that is very prominent would be Romans chapter 12. We can see that we need to have both unity and diversity. All living organisms have a combination of unity and diversity. There are, for instance, many different types of cells in our bodies that all interact together, but there's one genetic code that holds the whole thing together. And so if we look at biological concepts and see how we can apply them to our Christian walk and our interaction with each other, I think we can glean some new insights.
You know, that would probably transform the way we relate to one another with the church down the street who has a different sign on the front. They're part of the body. They might be the hand or the foot or the toe, but they're part of the body, and we too are to give that honor and respect and to recognize that we should be united and not separate from them. Else, we're a house separated and it's going to fail. So, it's not just anatomy that the Bible uses, Apostle Paul uses, and you use in your book, Fingerprints of God. It's not just anatomy that we're this part or this part, but it's also that physiologic capacity and that kinesiology all has to come together to represent the body of Christ. And it's you glean that from your knowledge of the human body and how it works.
I became a Christian at a very young age in the church and had just a high confidence that the church was God's plan for mankind. And as I see the church at places becoming weak, I can't help but think that some of these interactions, these physiological interactions that we have with each other, can be healthier if we think of ourselves as a living body rather than as a business or an organization.
Well, Ron, as you've thought about this and prayed about this and sought God's plan, what have you come away with as a vision for the body of Christ in our current culture?
I could encapsulate it in one word, and that is revival. And the word revival means different things for different people. You know, some people think revival may mean, they have to define who's revived and who does the reviving or what does revival mean to them. But to me, the word revival means R-E-R-E and then vival, to live again, I think. I see the word revival as being the body of Christ living again and reestablishing the attributes of life in our interactions with each other and with Christ as the head, and look and having less of a worldly or human emphasis on how we do things and more of a biological or living organic look at how we do things. And so I see the word revival as really the vision for what I would like to see the church have.
So revival, we live again. That's your vision for the destination for each of us and collectively for all of us. But what is the pathway for getting that? You wrap up the book by talking about a more excellent way. What is that way? How do we get to that revival in our lives and it's a revival in the church?
Well, when I read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul talks about the living body and the hand and the foot and the eye and the ear and the different members of the body. He ends that and transitions into the love chapter, chapter 13, by saying, yet I show you a more excellent way, or the more excellent way. And the more excellent way that he describes in 1 Corinthians 13 is charity or love. In my experience, in our family's experience, in going to different churches and being in different areas and meeting with different Christian groups, there are certain groups that just have this bond of love, this bond of Christian charity. And one in particular is a small church in rural Arkansas where we have a little lake house up there. And when we go up there, we just love being with the people because they are so dependent on one another. In the cold winter, they're all isolated on the lake there, and if one person has a well that goes out, well, all the other people don't even have to be asked. It doesn't have to be a project or a plea. It's just natural that they all come together. They help each other. If one's sick, if one's hurting, if there's a problem with their house, they interact on a day-to-day, intimate basis. And it's not that the local church is setting up projects and programs and fundraising for things. It's just, it flows right out of the heart of the individual where they love one another. And to me, the more excellent way is this Christian charity that Paul describes like that in 1 Corinthians 13.
Ron, you brought us some excellent content in this book, The Fingerprints of God. We're not going to cover it all in this interview. There's much more in the book. And I'd encourage readers to get a copy of it, The Fingerprints of God by Dr. Ron Bryce. Read about the things we've talked about much more and let it change your life. It can be transformative in the way that we understand the human body, how it should be played out in the lives that we live in community with one another as the body of Christ. Ron, thanks for being with us. Anything more you'd like to add?
I just want to say it's an honor, Gene. Thank you so much.
All right. Blessings to you, my friend.